Amos chapter 4, the end of verse 12. It's the words of God. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And one other verse in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and the words of the Lord Jesus speaking in verse 40. And ye, therefore, be ye ready, for in the hour in which ye do not think it, the Son of Man comes. These are the words, the scriptures that have come before me for the gospel preaching tonight. On the way down the road on Friday evening, I received an email from the coach at the tennis club that I'm a part of to say that one of the members had been playing tennis on Thursday night and had collapsed and had a cardiac arrest and had died. Just like that. No previous indications as far as we know. And it happens, I'm sure, time and time again in many lives. Death comes in. Death comes in suddenly. Those people, perhaps, who were diving to see the Titanic, they had signed a waiver. They perhaps were taking a risk. But they weren't to know that their lives were to be claimed. Travelling on the road. An accident can occur at any time. Their lives can be claimed. And you just wonder. That man, I don't know him very well. But was he prepared to meet his God? And is his God? Every one of us are created by God and for God. He would meet God. He will meet God. And I want to ask you tonight, dear friend, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet God? It's not a question of if you'll meet God. It's a question of when you'll meet God. There's no ifs. There's no doubts. There is a God and you will meet him. Oh, but God's desire is tonight, dear friend, that you would meet him as a Saviour God. A God who loves you. A God who has expended great cost to secure your blessing. To save you from your sins. The sins that have separated between you and your God, the scripture says. There is a distance between us and God. There is a distance. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. We all know what that is. There's no one person in the world can say that they have never disobeyed their parents. Or they've never, even on one small iota, never broken the law, followed everything that they have ever been told to do. That is an indication itself of sin, of our own self-will, of going our own way. Above all, dear friend, we have all offended God. The psalmist, David, in Psalm 51, recognizing what had come in his own life, could say, against thee, thee only have I sinned. You say, wait a minute, David, what about Bathsheba? What about all the other people? What about Uriah? What about all the other people that story affected? Yes, he had done things that hurt others, but he could say, against thee, thee only have I sinned. We've all transgressed in the sight of God, dear friend. We're all sinners. None of us can measure up to God's standard. So you might as well Stop trying. There's no possibility that you or I could ever hope to get into God's presence on our own terms. It's an impossibility. And God knows that. God knows what you are. God knows what I am. He knows what's in here. We can present a good front to others. All of us can. You say, oh, well, I go to the meetings all day on a Sunday, and then there on a Monday, and there on a Thursday. Or I go to church, or I go here. I read my Bible once a day. That's all very good. Very upright. But do you have a living link with Jesus? Do you know what it is to be saved from your sins? To have the burden rolled away? Have you met with God? Have you met with God at the cross of Calvary? A great meeting place of God and sinners, dear friend. Romans says, isn't it? God is setting forth Jesus as a mercy seat. Mercy seat was the meeting place between God and his people in the Old Testament. God and the priests, the high priest. Well, tonight, dear friend, God wants to meet you personally. Personally at the cross. He would take you, would show. Think of what was enacted at the cross on your behalf. Think of what God has given. Think of Jesus. God knows that there is no way back for you on your own terms. So I said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus. The most precious giving. Think of what Jesus meant to God. God's beloved Son. God's only begotten Son. The most precious thing that God could have given was Jesus. And the only thing that we do, the only sacrifice that we do, if you and I were to come into blessing, was Jesus. There was no other way. So on the cross at Calvary, Jesus nailed through his hands and through his feet, lifted up to die. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then we have the 3 hours of darkness. Think of all that was gone through then. Think of God, the knowledge that we have of how precious the Lord was to him, to the Father. Think of him pouring out upon Jesus the judgment that was due to you and me for every single little small sin that we may perhaps think is insignificant. All those little lies, all those little small things that nobody else knows about, so it doesn't really matter. Think of Jesus suffering for every single one. Think of Jesus facing the punishment that was due to you and me. Think of him being made sin for you and I. the perfect one, the holy one, the one who never did a thing outside the will of God his whole life, never said a word, never thought a thought, never an action other than it was within, other than was the will of God for him to do. What a precious life. And yet it was in that blessed one that God judged the sins that you and I have committed, if you'll put your faith and trust in him. This is an invitation of God tonight. Prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet him. Come. Think of God inviting you to prepare yourself to meet him. Think of his wondrous invitation. You say, look what I've done for you. Look what I've given for you. And I mean for you personally, dear hearer, dear friend. For you as an individual, God has given Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing to think of God giving Jesus for everyone. Think of him saying that God is, that he's been made a ransom for many. Other scriptures, a ransom for all. But he made himself a ransom for you. If you'll put your faith and trust in him tonight, a ransom for you. God cares about you, dear friend. He cares about you individually. He knows all about you. And he loves you. And one day, you're going to meet this God. Either meet him now, as a Saviour God, or you'll meet him at the great white throne. I'm not here to preach judgment, but it is the warning and the glad tidings tonight, dear friend, that you either deal, come to know God as a loving Saviour God, who's given Jesus, or if you refuse his free offer of grace, then you'll meet him at the great white throne, a place of judgment, a place of wrath. There'll be no challenge raised at the great white throne. Now, many people, they have a lot of things prepared. A list of things they're going to challenge God about when they see him. Many prominent celebrities in the world who have said, oh, well, when I meet God, I'm going to say this and that and the next thing. But no challenge is raised at the great white throne. But you know, there will be an acknowledgement of what God had provided and was refused. And every knee will bow. But tonight God is offering you blessing. Not on any terms, on his terms. You say, well, what do I have to do? How do I prepare to meet God? Firstly, Jesus has done the work for you. Don't need to add anything to it. There's nothing you need to do other than to put your trust in Jesus, in that finished work, and come in repentance towards God. And it's not just a matter of saying you're sorry and then going on with your life. Repentance means a complete turning around. An acknowledgement of what you are before a holy and righteous God. And who can measure up to that? We can measure up to the perfection of God. We must accept who we are before Him. Sinners. Those who have gone far from Him. Those who have no hope outside of Christ. There is no hope. Those who are in a hopeless position. But you know, as accepting that, we find that there is hope. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope for every one of us in putting our faith and trust in Him and in His finished work at Calvary's cross. He suffered for our sins. He exhausted God's judgment. We thought a little of that this morning. Think of the greatness of the one who is able to sheathe the judgment sword. The greatness of the one who was hanging on that cross. In 3 hours, three awful, terrible hours, was able to exhaust the judgment of God against the sins that you and I committed. For it not to consume Him, but He to consume it. For you, if you put your faith and trust in Him. So that there is nothing left for you to bear. And to give the witness of it that He has delivered up His life. And His precious blood has been shed. So you can put on, that you can be washed. Washed in that blood. Washed as white as snow. And thereby be prepared to meet God. To come in a wondrous way. And to be ready. To be ready. Went into the grave. A risen, glorious Saviour. Jesus alive tonight. Seated at the Father's right hand. Yes, He went into death. But He's come out triumphant. He's defeated all the enemies. He's alive to die no more tonight. And He's coming again. He's coming to this world. He's coming firstly for all those who love Him. Who have put their faith and trust in Him. And the Lord's just giving another warning here. And look. He says, be ye ready. Be ye ready. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Could be at any point. And for the believer in Jesus, that is a wondrous hope. A wondrous hope. Great joy. What a moment it will be to see Jesus face to face. To look upon Him. The one who this world last saw on a cross, having shed His precious blood. That same Jesus will see Him face to face. Are you ready for that moment? Be ye ready, for you know not in what hour the Son of Man comes. To be ready, as I've already said, is to put your to come in repentance towards God. Put your faith and trust in Him. And as we were reading in the house this morning in Matthew, is to put on the wedding garment. Tradition in Jewish circles is that if you're invited to a wedding, the wedding garment is provided. There was a man who thought that he could get the blessings of the invitation while refusing what had been offered. Your friend, the blessings of heaven, of eternal life, are open to you tonight. They are. God's desire to bless is wondrous. And yet, as already said, you cannot attain them in your own right. And if you refuse the wedding garment, that person walked past the wedding garment on the way into the hall. He thought, I don't need that. I'm sufficient. Your friend, none of us are sufficient outside of Christ. God has provided the garment. God has provided the salvation. God has done it all in Jesus. All you have to do is be prepared to meet God. I trust everyone in this room is ready at any time to meet God. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.